Street Studio in Portland. Educata Ya hosts Dia de los Muertos featuring decorative altars, people dressed up as Katrinas, reading of the satirical Calaveras, and a traditional Pan de Muerto. Again, that's Dia de los Muertos on Wednesday, October 30th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Irving Street Studios, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Art Focus. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Clinton Street Theater, open since 1915, featuring independent films, parties, and community events, located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. Full event schedule, tickets, showtimes, and more information online at cstpdx.com. And now, Art Focus.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Linda Tessner. She is the interim director and curator at the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art at Portland State University. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Linda.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's good to see you again. You've been here a few times since the early days.
I've been at KBOO quite a few times. I always love coming.
So people would know you as director and curator of the Hoffman Gallery at Lewis and Clark. So now you're at PSU. PSU got a big donation from Jordan Schnitzer, Arlene's son, to open a museum. This isn't just a private gallery. This is an art museum free to the public. It's open Tuesday to Saturday all day. What is the first show going to be about? What's it called?
I'm very excited about the first exhibition. The title of the exhibition is Art for All, from the Jordan D. Schnitzer and his family foundation. And I love the title, which was actually given to me. When PSU started investigating the opportunity of having its own art museum, there was kind of a motto that became attached to that campaign, which was Art for All. And it became quickly apparent that that was a beautiful exhibition title. And that was the theme that I took when selecting works for the inaugural exhibition.
Mm-hmm. So the first show begins on November the 7th. It runs through February 15th. So for the first show, you had access to Jordan's collection.
Correct.
So he has 13,000 pieces. He's considered a print collector, but that's not accurate, really. He also collects sculpture and painting. And you had free run of it? Or, you know, a lot of it is tied up in other Jordan Schnitzer museums in Eugene and Washington.
Right? Well, as you certainly know, he has a very active and ambitious lending program through his foundation. So, correct, not everything that he owns was available to this exhibition. But Jordan and his amazing collections manager, Catherine Malone, pretty much gave me full range to dive into his collection and make selections. And, of course, Jordan is known as the Emperor of Prints, or the Prince of Prints, because he's so well known for collecting very deeply in multiples. But I was hoping to select more painting, more sculpture, to show the breadth of his collection.
Mm-hmm. So it's a two-level building. Upstairs, there is sort of sunlight coming in from Broadway. Downstairs, if you start downstairs, you're going to see a bit more sculpture down there. There's one piece by someone called Arman. He just goes by Arman.
Yes, he does.
And it's a bunch of violin bridges, those little flat things with the holes in, set in what looks like glass or something.
Resin.
Resin. Mm-hmm. Well, why did you pick that? And it's untitled, of course.
Well, it was both very fun and challenging to think about what kind of art would you select for an exhibition that is called Art for All. So in looking at his work, it became quickly apparent that there were many, many ways that you could enter that theme. You could think about color and composition. You could think about ethnic identities. You could think about gender identities, politics, social justice, humor, text-based work. And so I started making lists of objects that I would like to include. And it became quickly apparent to me that there were many works that spoke to the human experience. And so I started selecting works for this exhibition with the idea of where do visitors, viewers, enter the artwork? And I think that, as you know, there's a lot of portraiture in the exhibition, but I really loved the way that Armand represents music as a means to enter the world of visual art, and that piece, which is made up of dozens of violin bridges, I thought was a beautiful visual pun that spoke to maybe the intersection between music and visual art. And I was just delighted by that. I thought that maybe there would be visitors that would be delighted by that piece as well.
Mm-hmm. So you said Jordan Schnitzer's collection has a humanist bent. What does humanism mean in this context?
Well, I would say that Jordan does not shy away from politically charged or socially charged artwork. He has an extremely democratic view of work. He's not just selecting what I would call, you know, contemporary masters. He's not just focusing on kind of the big guns. We all think of Jordan and his beautiful Ellsworth Kelly exhibition, or his Warhol exhibition, or his Stella, all of those print exhibitions that are available to museums across the country. He also collects deeply in work that might be a little bit challenging. For example, the Din Kule, I think, is an incredibly mm-hmm. powerful socio-political commentary on America's involvement in Vietnam.
Many of our listeners probably have seen this in books or at Liz Leach.
It's possibly mm-hmm.
woven. It's two photos woven together in a sort of crisscross pattern,
right.
Standard weaving. And one of the images is two guys in wheelchairs
mm-hmm.
who are Vietnam vets from the movie Born on the 4th of July. Tom Cruise
Correct.
And who's
William
the
Dafoe.
William Dafoe. And then the other image is the classic girl running away from a napalm attack.
Yes, the Nick Ut, the 1972 Pulitzer Prize winning horrific photograph of mm-hmm. the young girl running toward the camera after having her
and that's
village
but that
bombed.
Image is used four times, like there's a face
like a
version.
Ghost image. Yes,
yeah,
if you're familiar with the Ut photograph, that's an iconic photograph. I think most people will understand the double meaning there.
Mm-hmm. So why did you pick that one?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't think it's not very common for a person that's in a wheelchair to see artwork that actually depicts other people in a wheelchair. I think that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And under the moniker Art for All, I was hoping to include some commentary on people with disabilities, but this is a very literal example. And then I love the commentary on, the anti-war message in that particular piece, and the Din Kule's, so much of his work is about an artist returning to kind of the scene of the crime and the kind of push-pull between America and Hollywood and his roots in Vietnam. So I just find Din Kule's work to be completely compelling and powerful. And
mm-hmm.
this was a great opportunity to show something that might not otherwise be seen.
There's a piece by Ellen Gallagher, and it's 12 times 5. It's a grid of framed mm-hmm. images. Most of them are old Ebony magazines. Most of them are hair or skin lightening ads.
Mm-hmm.
But she's messed around with the imagery. So
yeah.
what kind of things has she done?
Ellen Gallagher's piece Deluxe is a 60-image installation where each of the individual components is a page from a magazine. And the pages are almost, let's say, they're all advertisements about personal improvement. And then she's taken that as a basis for collaging. So she's used a huge array of interesting materials, mm-hmm. googly eyes to to puffy paint.
It looks like someone's got pieces of coral on their head. I think that is coral, right?
I don't think it's coral, but it's yes, it's very sculptural.
Yeah, and then there is things like decoupage type, like shiny
tinsel.
Black mm-hmm. hair, mm-hmm. sort of like it's got varnish on it,
yes.
things like that.
Foam, like thin foam sheets. Yes, yeah. it's really fun to look at the collages.
I mean, you could spend an hour in front of this, like reading the print and
yes.
looking at all the various textures.
Yes.
And yet these are multiples, right? There are
correct.
Versions of this work in what?
This particular multiple also exists at MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and at the Tate in London. I think the Alan Gallagher installation is a great example of a work of art that somebody could come and visit over and over and over again and come away with a different reading every time.
Mm-hmm. What kind of people do you think are going to be passing through the gallery? Because it's on the PSU campus. It's actually mm-hmm. in a university building.
Yes.
So there are students coming and going to class and to sort of
yes.
read in the atrium. But the doors are open to the public. You don't need a pass or anything to get in.
You do not. It's I love that it is free and open to the public. I think that I think the primary audience might be the community that makes up Portland State, the students, the faculty, and the staff. It's right there. It's the kind of spot where people could stop in on a lunch hour or before or after work. I love the idea of revisiting the exhibition or revisiting a piece or two in the exhibition over and over and over, because I think that's one way of deepening one's experience with visual art. But I absolutely hope that the Portland community will feel welcome to come to see the exhibition. It's I think that the programming that we have planned for the next year is... It represents work that will be meaningful to the entire mm-hmm. to our entire community.
Will it be student work, or what are we going to see
student
in the
work,
next year?
The next exhibition after Art for All, I'm very excited about. It's we'll divide that space into the top floor and bottom floor. The top gallery will be an exhibition of paintings by Portland artist R.V. Smith. The name of the exhibition is Two Up, Two Back, Two. It's an exhibition that's a partnership with Disjecta. So Disjecta is doing kind of the first part, new paintings, recent paintings by R.V. Smith. That'll be opening in December. And then at Portland State, we'll do a retrospective look at R.V.'s work. And then on the lower floor, we'll have an exhibition by the Guggenheim Award-winning artist Daniel Duford. The name of his exhibition is John Brown's Vision from the Scaffold. So he will be doing an installation of historic-based figurative narrative paintings exploring the life and impact of the abolitionist John Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have a student show. The BFA exhibition will be shown in June, and we've got other exhibitions planned, a collaboration with the Ford Family Foundation to show the 2020 Hallie Ford Fellows artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We're collaborating with Lisa Dent, the curator of Converge 45. And then we're also selecting from time to time exhibitions out of Jordan's collection.
Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a direct competitor to the Portland Art Museum, which has, you know, greater pulling power and more objects itself.
Of course.
It's and you used to work there, so you know.
I did
used
to work
the place.
No. A rising tide lifts all ships. I don't think of the Jordan Schnitzer Museum is in any way... We were partners with the Portland Art Museum, mm-hmm. not competitors.
Right. So PSU has always had a gallery, and it's kind of hard to find. You have to go up and down mm-hmm. funny stairs and lifts. You know,
right.
It's just like it's a weird building, and you don't really want to go in there if you don't have to.
I saw amazing shows in the Arts and Gallery over time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good... They show good art. It's just mm-hmm. hard to find, I think, mm-hmm. for the public. But this place is like wide open. It's kind of like the Apple Store in the sense that there are huge windows, and at night it's lit up and you can look in, and
mm-hmm.
it's a very welcoming space.
Oh, I'm so glad you read it that way, because it's meant to be welcoming.
Yeah, this was an old concrete bunker that they cut through the concrete and mm-hmm. put windows in because it was, you know, brutalist. But who do you think the tourists are going to wander up Broadway and go to it?
I sure hope so. I always secretly hope that people that come to the Portland Farmers Market on Saturday will make stopping in at the gallery or the museum a little part of their Saturday morning weekly practice. It's about as accessible as an art experience can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. So you took the title Art for All, and you're trying to get art where everyone can see a little bit of themselves in the art. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's probably overly ambitious to think that every work will speak to every person, but I did try to represent various demographics, various points of view.
Mm-hmm.
I included a Jim Dine portrait, self-portrait. I think, you know, there's, you know, along with, ethnic issues and gender issues, there's certainly ageism issues. And I think it's important to represent, you know, the older person in our view of the world. I wouldn't claim that we've hit something for everyone. I think that would be maybe a little arrogant to think that we could do that. But I think that that every object in the exhibition does speak in one way or another to what it means to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of portraiture. There's a lot of the experience of standing in front of those beautiful Kerry James Marshall portraits, and you're actually looking at another human being that pretty much catches your gaze and looks you back in the eye.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Linda Tessner. She is the interim director and curator at the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art, which is at Portland State University. It's at 1825 Southwest Broadway. And the show opening soon is called Art for All, and it runs November 7th to February 15th. You have a Jeff Koons in there, which is Koons repainted some masters and put a kind of mirror in so you could see yourself in the work. So the originals, his original knockoffs, had like kind of a glass ball thing.
Correct.
What was that?
Jeff Koons did a series that he called the Gazing Ball Paintings, in which he actually appropriated and repainted various masterpieces from the history of Western art. And in the case of the piece that's in Art for All, he took the great Manet painting Déjeuner sur l'herbe and recreated that. But the joke or the pun of these works is that he inserted a gazing ball. And a gazing ball is a riff on that slightly kitschy garden ornament where people put these beautiful mirrored balls in their garden on a pedestal to reflect all of the you know, the flowers in the sky and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Koons's idea was that if by inserting this very reflective piece into his work, you actually physically enter and become embodied in the work of art, because the gazing ball catches your reflection. So you, as you are looking at the painting, or in this case the print, you're actually inhabiting it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Koons has said that he believes that enhances the enjoyment of the view of the art viewing experience.
That's strangely narcissistic, isn't it?
I think it's slightly narcissistic and kind of funny, and there's lots to talk about with that idea. It's, you know, Jeff Koons is so good at poking fun at the way we consume art.
Mm-hmm. So this Lunch on the Grass, famous painting, mm-hmm. This is a print of the copy he made. And instead of a ball, it's a flat piece of sort of dark blue reflective glass.
Correct.
And you say the glass is specially made by Corning.
Yes.
It gives a better reflection than a normal piece of glass. But it's right on the naked lady's thigh.
Right.
So you got to kind of crouch down to get your face in the picture.
Yeah.
Were they all like that? Are you supposed to do like gymnastics to get into the art?
Well, I'll say that it's really well worth taking a look at Gagosian's website to take a look at his series, because they're very fun and a little funny,
mm-hmm.
But very thought provoking, of course.
Yeah. So Jordan Schnitzer collects internationally, right? There's a Tracy Emin across the room. It's very simple. It's a neon word piece. What does it say?
The neon piece is a blue heart with a text that says the kiss was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, the simplicity of that piece and the kind of the universality of that piece. Like, I think everybody that has been in love or has had the physical experience of a kiss could relate to that piece. And I just like the idea of including something that fun and fanciful and very simple, very beautiful. It's been really gratifying. As soon as we installed that piece and turned it on, we had noses pressed to the glass, people looking to the museum, like, what's that? And taking pictures. And
because as you and I speak, it's not open yet. So
no.
You've just been working in there and people are looking through, trying
Correct.
To figure out what's going on.
Yes.
You know, the most Instagram piece at the Portland Art Museum is a Dan Flavin, the three kind of fluorescent tubes together.
That's the most Instagrammed piece?
Because people stand in front of it and then take their picture.
Well, we're in the age of selfies, aren't we?
Yeah. So do you think maybe this neon piece will have that kind of attraction?
I hope so. I mean, I hope that I never become a curator that is too inspired by Meow Wolf or, you know, the ice cream museum. I mean, I think those are fun and have a place, but I really do revere the history of art. I take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the idea of people taking photographs of each other in front of the Tracy Emin, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Robert Colescott.
So you have a couple of Robert Colescott paintings, mm-hmm. big paintings. One of them is called Mother Nature, and it's a takeoff on the birth of Venus. So there's a woman, naked woman with shells on her breasts, and she's got a foot on a globe. And then there's people giving her flowers and fruit, I think. Just tell us a bit about Colescott and his link to PSU.
I'm very excited that we were able to include two Robert Colescott paintings in this exhibition. Colescott taught at PSU from 1956 to 1966. And he was an early artist represented by Arlene Schnitzer in her Fountain Gallery. In fact, Arlene and Robert Colescott became close friends. They remained friends until he passed away. There's a current major Robert Colescott exhibition taking place right now in Cincinnati, and both Jordan and Arlene loaned works to that exhibition. As you know, Colescott is famous for taking famous paintings, masterpieces, from the annals of Western art, like Washington crossing the Delaware and Liberty, the Delacroix, Liberty Leading the People, and then recrafting them to include African-American figures as the characters in the paintings. So when he taught at Portland State, he was not in the period of really identifying as himself, self-identifying as an African-American. After he left Portland State, he went to Cairo, and his painting practice really changed profoundly. But I just love that Portland has this history connected with Robert Colescott's early years, and I just think it's important to remember his presence at Portland State.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, his paintings are phenomenal.
Right. So the whole idea of like reinterpreting kind of racist imagery,
correct,
kind of started with him, or he was at least an early person, because a lot of people mm-hmm. do that now.
I would absolutely consider him a pioneer in that trend of art history, of mm-hmm. contemporary American art history.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we're now in the upstairs gallery, the one that's mm-hmm. slightly above street level with all the sunshine. Mm-hmm. You have another piece, a sculpture that's right there as you come in. It's a woman made of found objects.
Yes, Vanessa German.
Mm-hmm.
The title of the sculpture is No Admittance, Apply at Office. I believe it's the first time that a Vanessa German work has been shown in Portland, and I'm really thrilled that we were able to include this piece in the exhibition. It's a female figure, kind of a doll-like figure, made up of all kinds of found objects, a quilt, keys, bottle caps, found tchotchkes, shells. And it's a great example of black materiality, the kind of work that you think of most prominently with, when you think of Allison's of Betty Saar, who has recently received so much recognition for her work. Vanessa German is not the only artist that has used this black materiality in her work. Allison Saar's sculpture, David Schrobe's portrait, those are other examples that kind of create a certain through line in this particular part of the exhibition.
Mm-hmm. Does Jordan Schnitzer collect African Americans, art more than other ethnicities? Or did you select from the collection?
No, I selected from the collection. But Jordan, he collects from all ethnicities. He does not shy away from challenging LGBTQ artists or artists of any nationality. He has a very democratic eye.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun for me to kind of poke around his collection. He has a very rich sandbox to play in.
What is it physically like? Is it stacks like in a museum, or how do you navigate the collection?
Well, again, I could never have done it without Jordan's brilliant collections manager, Catherine Malone, who made the artwork available to me by photographs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the experience of going and looking at absolutely mm-hmm. everything, but Catherine made things very available to me.
Is there one place where the kind of overflow is kept?
Yes. Jordan has a new warehouse where he keeps his collections.
Where's that?
In Northwest Portland.
Oh, okay. Right. So conceivably, you could do this show all over again in a year and come up with something.
Absolutely.
But this is not going to be the Jordan Schnitzer, vanity museum where
no.
it's just stuff that he likes.
No, although I would never undersell how generous he is with his collection, how he makes it so available to museums. Really, anything that he owns, he's willing to loan for the purpose of sharing it with the public. So I think future curators are going to have a great time developing art exhibitions out of his collection. I think that the future of the museum will include doing exhibitions out of his collection maybe once or twice a year, but then there are all kinds of other opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm. There's one other great piece people should go see, La Femme du Maroc, the Moroccan woman.
Yes.
And Lala Essaidi.
Essaidi.
Mm-hmm. Essaidi, sorry. She's lying. It's a self-portrait mm-hmm. photo. She's lying on her belly on a couch, and mm-hmm. she's got henna drawn on her hands.
Yes.
And then the couch has got writing all over it, and the backdrop. And it's a Kodak, the negative edges
yes.
showing to show it's a photo, not a Photoshop.
Yes, I would say that's an example of straight photography.
Mm-hmm. And how does that relate to the rest of her work? Why did you pick that one piece?
Well, it's a beautiful portrait. It's a very beautiful portrait, and I wanted to represent artists from the Middle East or artists representing the Middle East.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Linda Tessner. She's the interim director and curator at the new Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art, which is at Portland State University at 1825 Southwest Broadway. The first show is called Art for All, and it begins November the 7th and runs through February the 15th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO, Linda.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Hip Hop Halloween on Saturday, November 2nd from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Atlantis Lounge in Portland. Project Northwest and Arcadia Beats host Hip Hop Halloween, featuring performers Figure 8 AF, Contra Killas, and Dub Dynamic, a costume contest, tarot readings, and more. Project Northwest is a pro-black, pro-women, pro-queer online zine and showcase for hip-hop and R&B artists in the Pacific Northwest. Again, that's Hip Hop Halloween on Saturday, November 2nd, from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Atlantis Lounge inside Mississippi Pizza, 3552 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church in Portland. This two-day event celebrates the ancient tradition of welcoming back loved ones who have passed on. There will be altar building, Muertos face painting, sugar skull decorating, traditional Mexican food, drink, and live musical performances. It's a benefit for Transiciones, a program at Mount Hood Community College that has helped Latino women for close to 20 years in reaching their academic and career goals. Again, that's a Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church, 806 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Así que vamos a retirar. El iremos por un ratito.